Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good. This isn't your average talk radio show.
Blah, 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 blah.
We're blasting away the old tried and not so true mold. Instead, TGRN turns talk into action. And action leads to doing positive things for people, our environment, and even the animals.
Well, I'm only one person. What can I do?
A lot. Join host Frankie Picasso while she turns talk into doing and gets results. This is the Good Radio Network. Yes, you can do it if you try, even if you're just a regular guy. Now, here's your host, Frankie Picasso.
Hello, and welcome to the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good. Wherever you are in the world, I welcome you to the show, and I thank you so much for listening. If you're listening live, fantastic. Join the show. Give us a call. I encourage you to join this conversation. It's important. And for those of you who are downloading the archived version, thanks again for connecting with us. I really appreciate it. As you know, the Good Radio features stories and guests that are positive. And before I introduce you to my guest today, I just wanted to share something that amused me today. I put positive stories into Google Alerts, and this is what I received today, that the Indonesian president, Joko Widodo, insists that the death penalty is positive for his country after the execution of 7 foreign drug convicts by firing squad. Very positive story. Thank you so much, Google. it's sad that these people were murdered, but, you know, it's kind of funny that that makes positive news. My guest today wears many hats. You may know her as a model, a club host, a radio personality, a fitness instructor, a recording artist whose first hit single, Be Yourself, skyrocketed up the charts. But did you know that she's also a spokeswoman against domestic violence, and that at times she has physically worked with victims to help get them out of abusive relationships? Yes, I'm speaking about Tosha Makia, who was chosen as one of the 50th sexy single Latinas in New York City. She has worked with the likes of Andy Martinez, Ashanti, Diddy, Lil Kim, LL Cool J, and Busta Rhymes, to name a few. She's also performed on some of the hottest television shows on air, BET's 106 in Park, Carson Daly Show, and New York City's WB Morning Show. She's been with several stations, worked the morning show on North Carolina's 102 Jams Wild Out Wake Up Show. I can't even pronounce it. Good for her. This is a woman whose voice has reached and inspired and touched thousands and thousands of people. She's also a woman who's a survivor of domestic violence, bullying, molestation, and today she empowers other women in abusive situations. Welcome, Tosha Makia. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today, Frankie. Thank you. Wow.
It is certainly our pleasure. I mean, you've done a lot of things. You are like quadruple talented.
I'm sitting here like, wow, I did all those things. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
How amazing. And you've done other things I haven't even mentioned yet. I can't wait to talk about them.
God.
You know, I read a bit of your story, and it's clear that you are very strong. And I'm going to say strong with STRONG, capital letter strong. But there was a time, I stated that you were a survivor of domestic violence and bullying and molestation. So who was that girl, and what happened to her?
Wow. As a little girl, I remember it all started, I think I was about 4. I was just an innocent child. I think 4 years old, between my babysitter and a family member, that's when my innocence was pretty much taken away. And I just thought, I don't know what I thought at that age. I think from then, I always wanted to be around men, be wanted, not in a desirable type of way, but just hugging and, you know, just, I kind of like stuck to my dad really close, and he would wonder and tell my mom, why does she act like that? Why does, when she sits on my lap, she gives me kisses on my cheeks and she turns her head? It was different. I went through a lot as a 4-year-old where my innocence was taken away from my babysitter's son. And then, you know, molested by one of my uncles at the time. It was a lot. So growing up, I'm not sure. I always try to kind of connect who I am now to then and wonder if that's why I went through a lot of things or if I allowed a lot of those things, because I always, again, seem like I clicked to the men in my family. Like I just wanted to be close to them. Then as a child. And then
so you didn't, there was no fear up, against it. There was no fear.
Yeah,
you
with,
fear
those, with those
you
two people.
You actually engaged more with them.
Yeah, right, but not in a sexual manner at four. I just thought that, hey, that's what you're supposed to sit close to men and just hold their hands.
Okay.
It was a bit weird and different, you know, and
right.
Because at a small age, and I guess that's why growing up into my life later, I wound up hating the color red, because that's what happened in one of the bedrooms, and everything was velvety and red, and it was just pretty bad. So the child, yes, I had my innocence taken away, being molested, and then growing up into bullying and wanted to take my own life just because I didn't understand how to deal with it. And I was never one of the girls.
Let's stop there. Who bullied you? Where were you bullied?
I used to live in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Who bullied the pretty girl?
They didn't see me that way. I was a little girl that was super thin thighs with a bobble type head, and I was a tomboy, and very quiet, very to myself, all about school. And just growing up, you know, kids are mean. I mean, I'd say maybe
right.
sixth to eighth grade was probably the worst time for me. So now I'm battling with the fact that my dad at the time left my mom, and I could not understand why. So not did he just leave my mother, he left his children. And
right.
growing up, I'm going into battling, you know, bullying. Now I'm dealing with bullying, and my mom is a single mom. She was a hairdresser, so she would walk to work an hour to the air, you know, to the train station.
Wow.
Everything she would do on her own, yeah. And being a college student as well, raising three children on her own, it was a lot. So between sixth
where
and eighth grade,
I
went.
Sorry, where are you in that hierarchy of children? The
oldest, I'm
the
youngest.
Oldest.
I'm the only girl.
You're the oldest. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have two brothers.
I'm the only girl. Yep, and I have
yeah.
two brothers. Yep.
So
at this time, you know, grade school between sixth and eighth grade was very hard. Kids were mean, and I think, you know, the quiet kids are normally the ones that are easy to kind of go after. We don't want any trouble. We just want to get to school and get through it. But, again, my mom was a single mom. We were sharing clothing, and so it was high waters on me, what was long on my brother. So we were very easy to target, to bully. And it just became a real bad situation for us as children. More so me, I didn't know how to handle it. And bullying became so bad, I would like to, at the time I used to think about ways to take my life, but I was too much of a coward to do it, I guess. That's what I thought of myself then.
Did you ever talk
and
to anybody about it?
Because in my family, I just didn't trust anybody. I just didn't know
right.
who to trust because, you know, at a younger age, someone hurt me that loved me, and it was a little different, mm-hmm. so I would keep things to myself. And
now, was this your
my brother knew.
Was this your father's mm-hmm. brother or your mother's brother that molested you?
I wouldn't be able to say that. Only because
okay.
I chose not to. It hasn't even,
okay.
my family to this day has been dying to find out who, and
oh.
I don't want to cause any issues anymore, but it's been years, which I even till now, I want to sit down and talk to him because he's here, he's living.
Sure.
But he acts like it's never happened. He acts like, oh, I love you, and how are the kids? And they should come down, and you'll never see my kids.
Yeah,
But, yeah, bullying was really, really hard. And then from there, high school kind of started. And I kind of trickled into high school and into relationships and not knowing the difference between boyfriend and husband because I think it all had to do with each other, like someone taking your innocence and you kind of didn't have any direction. Again, my mom wasn't home. She was working and a full-time student. So between bullying and molestation growing up, I think that's where I kind of, and I think about it now, and I talk to Tanika about it and my mom and my daughter's 18. And I say, you know, I wonder if all those things that I went through and dad leaving my mom, but not just leaving mom, leaving me, kind of, allow these things to happen. I allow these things to happen in my life because I didn't have a male figure to help lead me. And then, you know, I did notice even with helping these women that when men are lacking in their life, their fathers or some type of male figure were easy to kind of target as well. So I think with
right.
everything in my life kind of led up to my abuse, if that makes sense.
I mean, you know, you're going to pick people who feel familiar.
Right. And
like, oh.
It's hard to find out who's going to be the one to treat you as such, you know. But
right.
I think all those things in my life kind of played a major role into me allowing domestic violence to happen for 15 years of my life.
So, you know, I mean, you're gorgeous. You're sexy. And yeah, you know, you can look, I look at your photographs, and not that one has anything to do, because I'm not saying that at all. I mean, you can go out there and be as sexy as you want, and you're not saying, you know, touch me, hit on me, nothing like that.
Never.
But do you think that the way that you provocatively dress, do you feel that you did that intentionally to attract anybody? Or
well,
was that for
you? Well, it's funny you ask that, because 3 years ago, before I started my physical transformation, I think I would wear certain things because I just wanted that kind of attention. And I really, really, and I just started speaking about that, I was really miserable myself. I was not happy up until about 2-3 years ago with who I was. I was just miserable. 2013, I was let go from the radio station, 102 Jams, right before my back surgery, and I became very depressed. But now I know it was all for good reason. But I was very unhappy at the time. I think I just did certain things to get attention and acted a certain way and was very mean and very got blocked by a lot of celebrities on Twitter. You know, like I was that gossip girl, but a mean baby Wendy Williams, if that made sense at the time. And I love Wendy. But at the time I was not happy with myself, and I think I was coming to, it's like a pimple coming to a head. I think I was getting to the point where something was getting ready to happen, and it had to be a change. And I think when the station let me go right before my surgery, that was March of 2013, it was necessary, because I think I would have been reckless. Yes, I was helping many women out of abusive relationships still, because it was helping me heal through my pain, but I was not happy with myself. And who I am 2 years and some change later is completely a different person. And if I was who I am now, then I would have been awesome. But yeah, I think I did a lot of the things that, you know, the dressing and the going to the clubs and just drinking until I wasn't able to think, because I wasn't happy. I was not happy at the time. And
so
I'm definitely in a different space.
Was that the father of your daughter?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got 3 children, right?
I do. I have 2 little boys with Terry.
Okay, so this first relationship that you had with, was he your first abusive relationship, other than the molestation? Was he, like, as your boyfriend, husband, whatever, was he your first relationship where you were with somebody who was very abusive?
He was my first real relationship, period, yeah. I've only been in 2 real relationships, and the one I'm in now is my second one. And he's a beautiful man. Yes, Terry's an amazing man. That's him now. But back then, I was dating my daughter's father and biological. And he was an amazing person when I met him. I mean, and we later found out the reason.
Business or?
No, he was just a hardworking cable guy. I was in high school. I was in high school, and I was very quiet, you know, just coming out of the whole bullying thing. I just became a cheerleader, and, you know, and he was just very persistent, and he was a pain. It was like, oh, my God, leave you.
He
was, I think he's about 4 years older than me.
Okay, was he still in high school, or was he out of high school when you met him?
Oh, he was in high school. He just, you know,
oh, he was in high
back
school.
A few
okay.
different grades. Yeah, he was in his last year. He was very persistent, and he was very sweet and kind. And, of course, you know, you don't, when you meet someone, they pretty much, you know, are not going to show you who they really, really are. And and in all fairness, I think he wasn't sure as to who he really, really was at the time either. We both were young, but there's no excuse. So then later on, things just started. It really started once I was pregnant with my daughter in Asia. And it was more verbal. It was just, oh, you're stupid, or you... this baby's not mine, or things like that. That was pretty strange and hurtful. And then once my daughter was born, it was a bit different, and I never saw it coming. Me and Tanika and I were just talking about, you know, when it comes to domestic violence, when it comes to manipulation, you never see it coming. So it's kind of like I got sucked into it, and he knew that my dad and I never had a relationship. My dad was never there. If anything, my stepmom was there for me, you know, more than my father was, and I appreciate that forever. But he knew that I was lacking a father figure, and that my uncles were not consistent in my life. So it was very easy to take me away from my family and pretty much put me in a world of his world and his world only. So that's where it pretty much began.
So he was physically abusive and verbally abusive.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The it was.
And was he abusive
he
to
had,
your daughter?
I'm sorry.
Was he abusive
he was,
to your daughter?
He was not physically abusive to Danasia. But now when I look back at it, he had a lot of verbal abuse, mental, because she heard. I never thought she would. She knew what was going on, and she heard everything. There's things that we talk about today, and I mean, we've been free 10 years, but there's things that we discuss today that she says, you know, Mom, do you remember this? And I think I've blocked so much out that I don't remember. Right. So she yeah. There was times he said hurtful things like, you know, it's okay, I don't need you to have be my daughter, I'll have another one, or, you know, just things that some people would just wipe off that an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old would not be able to wipe off, you know, at the time.
Right.
So
no, I totally get it. I had a second husband who was abusive, verbally, physically abusive, and
oh, wow.
I get it. So when was the what was the last straw for you? What made you stand up finally and leave?
It wasn't me. It was my daughter. I wind up staying in a relationship in Connecticut. I was actually on air at Hot 97 in Hartford. We were touring. I was doing a lot of touring with Angie Martinez at the time, opening a lot of shows for, you know, my single at the time. And we were moving pretty much. And that whole thing started to kind of slow down due to the violence. It just became very bad. I was arrested because of...
You were arrested?
And it's cleared because I did good.
No, but you were arrested for what? Why would you get arrested for?
Well, it was so bad that there was a day I came to my home. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. There was a day I came home, and it was more when I started to kind of hear God talking to me. I remember I came home after we were moving into a new apartment. I came back to my home to get more of my things. And when I walked through the door, I remember... my feet felt heavy, and I remember hearing, "You will not be laughed at anymore." And I was like, "What is that?" I'm saying to myself, "What is that sound?" I remember opening the door. We lived in Ansonia at the time, and I came into the house, and I smelled this smell because he was a very heavy drug addict. I don't know what he does now. He's not allowed to contact us at all, but he was very into drugs, and it was this smell like of a burning plastic kind of a smell. It just smelled horrible. The whole house used to reek of it. And I was just tired of it, and I had moved into a different place with my mom and my daughter. I came to collect some of my belongings, and I remember my feet felt heavy that day, and I just kept hearing, now that I know it was God, that you're not going to be laughed at anymore. Just come in, get what you need, and leave. And so I remember going upstairs to the second floor, and I was grabbing some of my belongings and some of my daughter's things, and something said, go down to the living room. And so I kind of mentally battled that, but mind you, mental abuse is, and I'm not saying it's right at all because I'm totally against domestic violence. But mental abuse is a lot harder than physical. I mean, you know, and
it
your wounds heal. That mental thing, it messes with you even on your alone time. So I remember going upstairs collecting a few items. There were so many things that we had to get out because he was already being evicted out of this place, and I was not allowing him to come into the apartment at the time. So I wound up going downstairs, and something said, go in this closet and reach to the left. And it was a very narrow closet. Now, you know, you open a door to a closet, but if you put your arm out, you touch the wall. But to the left and to the right, there was deep space. And I remember, I didn't know why I was doing this. So something said, reach in it to the left, and I did. I was like, Tasha, I'm telling myself, you're going crazy. What is going on? Like, this mental abuse with him is just too much. You know, he's taking too much from you. You really need to stop this. Like, you can stop this. And then I remember when I turned around, there was a huge pile of clothes on the floor. And I remember my brother telling me, and I know this is not going to make sense to you right now, but I remember my little brother telling me that when he would visit his fiance at her mom's house, he would have to hide underneath a bunch of dirty clothes because her mother did not like black men. And my brother's half Puerto Rican, half black. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I'm thinking, okay, now you're really, you know, you're really going cuckoo, Tasha, stop. So I started jumping on top of the clothes, and it felt weird how it felt. And he says to me, well, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just jumping on your dirty clothes. I don't understand why you have this huge pile. It's almost like there's a body under here. Mm-hmm. And he looks at me like I'm crazy and continues to use this spoon with a lighter. And I ran upstairs, and I just said, let me just grab everything. But something said, no, come back downstairs, go back in that closet. So when I came downstairs, Frankie, I jumped on top of the clothes again and didn't feel the same as it did. So I went into the closet and I reached to the right. I didn't feel anything. I reached to the left, and I found my brother's fiance in the closet naked. And
it was
to a point that I was so confused because this girl I took into my home, and I was helping her because my brother wanted me to. And I was very skeptical of any girls my brothers dated because I'm just very protective of my brothers. Mm-hmm. And it was bad to a point that I just fought her, and he loved every moment of it, but it was more so, it wasn't about him. It was about the fact that my daughter called her auntie, that she ate at my home, and she mm-hmm. kind of had an idea what was happening, but he turned her on to drugs too. I forgive her today. She wrote me a letter of asking for forgiveness, and I told her I forgive her, but back then I didn't. So we fought mm-hmm. down the stairs, across the street, in front of a school of children. And
wow.
I had just started the radio in Hartford. It was the most embarrassing time for me. So we were both brought into the police station. We had to take care of medical bills due to her face. And it was just sad because I said to myself, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So we didn't bother with each other for a while, and somehow he made himself back into my life. And then I had the opportunity to do a nighttime show, my own nighttime show in Philadelphia with JDS, and I took the problem with me. The problem didn't last probably 90 days because it was so bad. One night he woke up, he would scream, I need your money, and I would sleep with my paycheck, or if I cashed it, in my underwear or in my bra.
Oh, geez.
And I would make Danae to sleep with me, but it got to a point where he didn't care if she was with me because he would try his best to not misbehave around her. And it was never constant, but it doesn't matter. A little bit of verbal abuse is a lot of it, you know?
Sure.
So then one night, after years of it, she grabbed my face. We were sleeping, and I would not furnish this condo apartment. I would not. So we were sleeping on a humongous, amazing air mattress. I'm still trying to find that air mattress. But she grabs my face, and she was like, make it stop. And I think the major was probably, I'm going to say seven. I always want to say seven, six or seven. And I think she ran into the room, and we began to argue in the living room. And he grabbed my cell phone, and he threw me against the wall. And I remember my hair was straightened. But when I woke up, my hair was completely curly because he poured a gallon of water on my face, my daughter told me. She said she believes he was trying to drown me because I passed out. It's hard to, I wish I can go to like some type of a person to just show me what I went through so I can get through with it because it's so broken up. And I just remember him saying, I'm going to throw you out the window. And
somehow
I remember my daughter running to the kitchen and sliding the cordless phone between his legs. And I just remember seeing his mouth moving and moving and moving, and he's screaming. And I'm right by the window, and the window's open. And it's just the second floor, but it's scary because there's bricks down there and plenty of huge rocks. And I'm like, he's going to kill me. I remember looking at him, and I remember saying, oh, my God, I've never seen this. Like, this is deep. This is 15 years of me being with somebody. And I remember thinking of him being so kind and me being pregnant and having my daughter, and then he becoming a heroin addict. All these things are just flashing through my head, and he's a crack addict. And I remember hearing him looking at me. He's screaming, and all these things are flashing in my head, and it's like suddenly I couldn't hear anything. And I just knew that this was it. And I remember looking out the window, and I'm not sure if I ever dialed my mom's number because my mom was in Connecticut at the time, and Danasia was in school in Norristown, Pennsylvania with me. And I just knew it was it. I just knew my body went just numb, and my mouth was dry, and I just wanted Danasia to stay in her room. And I just remember her face when she slid the phone to me, and I said, I didn't want her to see this happen, you know?
Right.
And I remember looking, I'm sorry?
I said, of course you don't want your daughter seeing that. Terrific.
Yeah, and I just remember looking over my left shoulder, and I saw a police officer. I said, he's going to kill me. I said, please hurry up. The door is unlocked. He's going to kill me. And later I found out that my daughter, with her fast legs, she unlocked the door downstairs because there's only one way out, and she made the phone call. She did everything. it was Denasia that saved us. If it wasn't for her, she attacked him that same day she tried to rip his eyeballs out. It was very crazy, and he laughed the whole time like the devil was in him. And it was just sad because as they're handcuffing him and taking him away, it's like I felt like my fear increased, but then I had to go, I went into a scared mode. And mm-hmm. and this is, of course, 15 years. I mean, there's stories in between. Like, there's just so many different things. But that day, it started, and I thought I was going to lose my job. I just started on 100.3 The Beat. They didn't have a clue what was happening. But my music director, Sarah, she knew a bit what was happening. She helped me get the restraining order, and we're very close till this day. I've helped her drop in weight and assisted her with many of our other friends. But the station had no clue, and then years later, I wind up coming out with it. But it was a scary day. It's amazing that I'm staying with him because I have a daughter with him. That's what I did, and that's why I tell a lot of women, don't stay in a situation because there's children. Right.
I know.
And I never wanted Denasia to say, well, Mommy, it's your fault that he's a drug addict because we left him, or it's your fault that he died because of drugs because you left him. But all the while, I'm thinking I'm protecting my daughter, and I'm saying I'm doing the right thing, thinking I'm doing the right thing because, you know, manipulation makes you think bad things are good things. And the one person I'm trying to make happy is the one person who saved my life, and that's my daughter.
Yeah. I always tell women never stay for money and don't stay for your kids. You're not doing them any favors.
Ever. At all. And there's times we talk about things, and I say to her, you know, that was 10 years ago. And she says, I know. But he hasn't changed. And she lets me know he hasn't changed. And I don't bother to look him up. I don't bother to.
Your daughter sees her dad? Your daughter sees her father?
She will not. She doesn't want to.
Oh, she doesn't.
Okay. And because he decided to take it to court and try to get custody, and I won full custody, just to do the hurtful things, which a lot of abusers, I'm not going to say men because there's women that do the same thing, but a lot of abusers always try to cling on to the mother or the father in some type of way by using their children. And it was very hard. And I thank God that I had a job that understood once allowing them to know what was happening in bits, not in full, that they were very supportive. And I was able to have a job shift I had at that time where I was on the air from 7 to midnight because I was able to run to the courts and do everything during the daytime. But it became pretty messy, and where he would try to pop up at schools, and then I just pretty much shut that down. So even now, even up until her senior year, she had a red flag on her account, which means that if he were to come to the school, he's immediately arrested. And that's put through per the courts. But that's how crazy he thinks he is. And when I look back at it, I think, you know, there's a lot of women that don't make it out, and a lot of children that suffer due to it too. But then I think
I just wanted to mention, like, you listen to your intuition.
Yeah.
And that's what's really important because, you know, that is our warning system. And I used to have visions in my head of my head going through a wall and thinking, this man's going to kill me. I need to leave.
Right.
And you know, I thought of my kids. I go, I got to leave for my kids. I have to get out of here. And, you know, I tried once, and he begged me to come back. Of course, he'd go back. And then there comes a point of no return where you just have to go. Now, we have a special friend of yours, a caller, who's, I'm going to bring her on right now, and Tanika. Mm-hmm. And she's going to tell her story, you said, for the first time. This is amazing. Bring Tanika. Tanika, hi. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks so much
for
joining us.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me.
You know, every time we tell our stories, we really help other women and you know, people who are in a situation. So tell us about you. You're a business partner for Toshikia?
Yes. Yes, I am, and she is my best friend. And I was also her number 70 that she saved.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so it's amazing having her in my life because of her strength. And just through the time, I haven't known her that long, but I can see now why God, you know, put her in my path. But I met my abuser at the end of July in 2011. that started as a dating relationship. You know, in the beginning, it's always, you know, the happiness and growing up. I came from a great family. My father is the epitome of what a man should be, and just watching the relationship between him and my mother was amazing. So it hit me in ways that I didn't know, because I'd never seen a man be abusive, right? Mm-hmm. And so in the beginning, it started out with, you know, manipulation. He gradually pulled me from my family, knowing how close I was to them. Then the abuse became with emotional, and also became physical. But through the 3 years, there was a gradual progression with the physical beatings. They would get worse. I was threatened that if I didn't stay, because we did work together, if I didn't stay and manage the business and remain a mistress, that my life was going to be taken.
He was married?
He was the part. He had one female that he always told me that was his wife. That's who he was going to marry. But then he also had multiple other girlfriends. And once again, being raised in the family I was in, that's not the type of person that I am. I would, you know, always plead for my life, please just let me out of this situation. You know, I can work in the same place. That doesn't mean that we have to be intimate with one another. And once I started standing up for myself, and because I was just getting to the point I was tired of it. You know, of course, after the first... I did not tell my family till the very end. He was threatening my father, who was 94. He started going into graphic details of how he was going to kill us. He actually showed up at a job where I was working part-time, jumped over the counter, and attacked me there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so there were just, I was very fearful, not knowing, okay, is this the day that I'm going to go in and he's going to be in a bad mood with someone else, but I'm going to get the, you know, the bad end of that and have to suffer an attack. So I was just always walking on pins and needles, but at the same time, I knew I had to keep a straight face, because I never knew, you know, if somebody asks me what's wrong, is he going to hear? And then I'll get attacked later, or my father be killed. So that was, you know, just living like that for 3 years. And in December of this last year, the 26th, the 27th, and 28th, that was the weekend that the attacks were at an all-time high. I didn't know if he was going to kill me or if I was going to be the one to kill myself. And during this whole time, I had never reached
about killing
a level like that. Pardon?
Did you ever think of killing him?
Of killing him?
Yeah. Cross your mind?
Yes, it did. Yeah. And I think every woman in that situation, you think of that.
You do.
Yeah, it does pop into your mind.
I was afraid to hit my husband because I thought, if I hit you, I'm going to kill you. And then my kids will be with us.
Right.
So I'm not
exactly.
Yeah.
And that entire weekend, I was beaten. I was raped. I was threatened. He almost threw me over the balcony. I was told, you know, and that the 27th, I had actually, well, the 26th, I was physically beaten. The next morning, I was told to come back there. And if I didn't, he would come find me, kill me, and my father. And for some reason that, I was terrified. And for some reason that day, I was sending Tasha different kinds of text messages. I was always letting her know where I was going. I told her when I was going there, different places I was stopping. She didn't.
She didn't know.
No one knew. She didn't know. I covered it up so well. But that day, and it was strange because it wasn't until I was out of the situation that she and I were able to talk into detail about everything. And
nobody saw
when
your
a woman
and asked you about them. Sorry to interrupt you, but you know, you
he
had
would,
physical signs of abuse. Oh,
he would
you
never put them on my face. So I always covered myself. He would never bruise my face. It was always my arms, my legs, where I could cover it.
Did you ever have to go to the hospital to emergency?
I could have, but I never did because okay. I didn't. He's known, so I didn't want it getting out to anyone.
Right.
Just because of living in the fear. Right.
Wow. I am so sorry. You know what? We have another caller. Let's just take him for a second and see what. Hello, Area 612. You're on air.
Hey, ladies. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I'm well. Good to hear your voice. Well, here's, you know, I live in the great state of Minnesota. My sister, back when, you know, I was like 19 or 20, she got her ass beat by her then boyfriend. And, you know, mm-hmm. and she came to me and my brother, and I knew this punk was, and, I met him in an alley, and I don't think this day doesn't have no idea who beat his ass, okay? And, you know, mm-hmm. put in the hospital for a couple weeks and got it done. And, you know, let's move forward. And she passed away on 888 on the hands of her husband.
Geez.
And that was, you know, and she's buried in some grave in the outskirts of Nebraska. I got that phone call when I was in the Mediterranean Sea, so I could not go to her funeral. But here's the deal. It's just like, I have a, what?
Are you in the service?
Negative, ma'am.
Are you in the army or something? Okay.
Negative, ma'am. I support the military on my podcast. Every podcast I do, I support.
Okay.
I shout the military on every podcast. I support mm-hmm. them mentally, physically, whenever I can. Can we speak one mm-hmm. language? It's called money. And I support the Boy Scouts who are future. But on my podcast, I talked before in the National Felony League, as I call it, the National Football League, or if it's basketball, pumpkin, or hockey, it's a shame that if me and you are dating and I punch you in our bedroom or I punch you in public, it's no difference. And look at
right.
the NFL. They had to be outraged to see the punch when he dragged her out of the mm-hmm. elevator. He didn't fart. He didn't fart in the elevator, okay? And she passed out.
Mm-hmm.
He punched her. And they needed
right.
to see the video. It's just like, okay,
right.
in movies. In the movies
right.
I get, there's a rape scene. I don't need to see it, okay?
Right.
I don't need to see it to understand the rape, okay? I get it can happen. Let's move on. It's more substantial. But here's the problem I always say, and I've talked to women about this many times when I've been to Shockley Prison, and I've talked to inmates. I've done outreach. My brother-in-law works for the DOC here in town. How you doing? And I tell the women in the prison when I talk to them in the outreach, and I say, and they talk about the kids. I said, you leave because of the kids. You don't stay
mm-hmm.
because of the kids. You leave because of them.
Right.
Because really, the beauty of my wife, my father told me when I was a young little punk, and he told my sisters too, my brother, they don't listen. If you want. You want loyalty, you can marry a damn dog. You want to go far, marry a smart woman, okay? My wife is a Harvard graduate lawyer. She puts absolutely mm-hmm. nothing. If I laid one hand on her, she always told me, you have to go sleep sometime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she would put up with absolutely nothing. It's the first, I love about my wife, the first 5 words, she was a very smart, she is a very smart woman. She's gorgeous, she's smart, and she's a lawyer, and she's educated. But the whole point is,
mm-hmm.
If my old man always told me, you ever lay a hand on your wife, I'll crawl out of my my old man would always get mad at my mom because she was, you know, she could be a pain in the ass, but he never laid a hand on her. He'd go out in the garage and
right.
work in the garage and, you know, whatever. But these
so,
women out there, they're getting abused. You got to leave.
I mean,
when the kids are involved, go ahead.
Your sister.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, your sister had a boyfriend that was an abuser, and then she married a man who was an abuser. Not the same
right.
person,
well, right? The same. The other guy he beat. He became. I don't know what happened. He lost his job. Whatever his excuse was, but he's in life. He's in prison for life. He's in prison in Nebraska for life. I send cigarettes down to the. What?
One second.
Sorry. I talk.
What about these two men? Do you think attracted your sister to them? What qualities?
My sister was attracted to them. She was just like my other sister, Raleen, who's been through 3 marriages, never been physically abused. She always the kind of person I'm going to change. I'm going to change a guy. You know, the old,
okay.
I have a baby, he'll change. You know, that kind
right.
of thing.
Majority
of men are pigs, okay? We aren't going to change. Neither women are going to change either. When you get the first couple dates, I've dated a lot of weird women. I met my wife, I could tell the first 5 minutes she was the one. And I knew it because she was smart, educated from Harvard. But the women are a lot. The problem with women is that they think they can change the man. Now, these men, I grew up in a family, a Republican father, working home mom, Democrat, but they always told you to carry yourself above. My sister was always wanting to chain somebody. I've been to prisons to talk to prisoners, men and women. I do outreach for DOC free of charge. And my dad always told me, you make good choices, you will be in good places. You make bad choices, they'll call from jail. You are your choices.
Right.
You choose who I'm going to get married to. And when you suspect that he or she is going to be controlling a little biatch or a cockroach, I suggest you leave. Okay? I'm dead serious. I'm only married once, okay? And that'll be it. You know, I don't care how big whatever they have or how big upstairs is, it's between the ears with women and men. If you have a child with this idiot or that woman, you leave because of the child. I would rather live under a bridge here in the great state of Minnesota by the airport where I work at with my dignity and to live in the penthouse with none. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what if they play pumpkin ball, major league bums. You have to leave because you have self-respect to disappear like without a trace. Okay? Because you're going to wind up like my sister is in a grave, sticked in the ground in Nebraska. And now he's on. You know, I send cigarettes down to the prison down there, and for every guy that beats his ass. So I have a couple guys down there that I deal with guards, and I send a carton of smokes down there.
Good
so
job.
They beat his ass like once a week, and they get a carton of cigarettes from me.
Oh my God.
It is what it is. I'm not afraid to see something. You say something. I'm not afraid to step in if I see someone. This is a girl I work with at work, and she was being a African American woman, beautiful woman. And I told her, I said, listen, she had cartelier makeup on. I said, who laid a hand on you today? And I said. I tell you what. I said, I got a six-bedroom house. I said, you take your two children. I said, you come over to my house. She lived downstairs for 2 weeks and downstairs. And I said, don't tell them where you're at. I said, you can use my other car. I said, you go back and forth between work. And I said, that's enough. She lived in my house for 2 weeks with the two children while she worked where I worked at until it all blew over. And then she disappeared here in the great state of Minnesota. I got a friend of mine that's got and just left. You know, and I said, you leave. She went there. I said, you're leaving because of the children, kiddo. You have to show. You have to tell these kids. But you look at the Ravens guy. That daughter is going to look back at that and say, "Geez, you stay with this guy." Then it's going to be repeated. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care. Have some dignity and self-respect for yourself. And go, no, I'm better than this. But if you find, you know, these guys are controlling and begging to marry him. Don't do it, girls. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. Again, if they want to film your sexual conquest, don't do that as well. I say it all the time on podcasts. If a guy from, hey, baby. No, you're not going to film our sexual conquest. And they keep giving you roses and over again. Again, it's between the ears, ladies and gentlemen. It's the first 10 minutes. If you fear something, something's going on, bitch, please. You step back and go, no. You're better than that.
Okay.
You must be a first round draft choice. You must be first. Go ahead.
I'm a fan of my podcast.
I do 2-hour podcasts for 3-hour podcasts for without commercials and music. And I do Bill Clinton's voice. I got to go, but I tell you guys right now, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky.
I appreciate that. I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Okay.
Mama, he was great. But I think to be fair in that, I understand, you know, you have to have self-respect and dignity. But if he's speaking regarding the Ravens case, I get that. You know, I was really upset with the woman when she decided she was going to stay and it was already on TV and everybody saw it. That was different. I mean, he knocked her out like a man. And no, it's no different than the abuse Tamika or you or I or many women have. But staying for money, that's a little bit crazy to me when you are able to leave. For me, I was afraid because he told me in detail how he would murder my mother and murder my daughter or take my daughter from me. So I'm not willing to risk my mother, who is my best friend in the entire world. And I'm not willing to risk losing my daughter at the time. But if I had a support system that I knew I could trust, now I could have trusted my mom. But I was afraid that he would do, because I've seen him do some things that I cannot even talk about that scare me. And when he tells me, he promises me, I don't sleep with one eye open. I sleep very well with a gun permit and a nice gun in my home. So if he ever decided he wanted to try, you're stepping on my property now. This is my home. This is where my babies sleep. This is where my family sleep, my future husband is. And with all due respect, every situation is different. God bless his sister. For me, I think, you know, and I'm not speaking of his sister, but that's why a lot of the women I do help, and I would have loved to have a host of different women, and I was so proud with Tamika coming out and sharing her story today for the first time.
Right.
With the system that I work with, most of these women and children call me, and I would meet them at wherever I meet them, airport, gas station, or the airport. I mean, I'm sorry, the police station. The family services department that I work with, they make them disappear. I never hear from these people again. there are females, like, you know, one of my friends, you know, two of my girlfriends in Philadelphia that are very close to me that would have called in today. But every story is different. For me,
right.
I was afraid to lose my mother, and I've seen what he has done to other people and put them in hospitals, and it was scary. For Tanika,
yeah.
I mean, this man is breaking down how he would murder her 95-year-old father.
Right.
That's scary. So if we had a support system.
Mm-hmm. And Tanika, too. Now, let's talk about this, because it's common to almost every abusive situation, is that the women don't say anything to anybody. They're afraid to
mm-hmm.
say something. And
right.
I don't even, it's embarrassing. You're smart.
Yeah.
Right? You're a smart
We're
girl.
We're supposed to be able to.
How did,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, how did you get in this, you know, we say to ourselves, how the hell did I get in this situation?
Yeah.
I don't really want to tell anybody because I'm pretty embarrassed about it. You're somebody hitting
right.
on me. So what's your recommendation?
See, for me,
first
of all, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Even with Tanika's case, and you know, to really be honest, like for me, I wasn't embarrassed. I was just, I didn't know who to trust. And if you were going to get me out, were you going to be able to help me really get out and look forward and not allow help me? I didn't want to look backwards. I wanted to make sure I was able to bring in income and do all these things. Or not even so much about income. I didn't care about the materialistic things that were in my house,
right.
which were many beautiful things. There was loads of money. But that's not why I stayed. I was afraid for my mother to be murdered. So
right.
to be fair with us, it was just I was scared. You know, I was never embarrassed. I didn't know who to trust. Now with Tanika,
but your brother,
I didn't know anything.
Your brother, you were afraid to tell your brother.
Right,
were you afraid that they get hurt?
There was a situation that I heard that he had tried to do something funny to one of my brothers that I won't say because of I respect my brother, and then one of my other brothers, he's too far to even do anything. So
okay.
it really upset me. So now it's a big mess, but. The way it wound up working out, it worked for me because I was afraid that at the end of the day, see, my daughter's biological doesn't fight with hands. He
mm-hmm.
has loads of guns, and a gun is not going to stop a punch. And I was
no.
not, I was too afraid at the time to risk my brothers, my mother, my daughter, or anyone.
Of course.
You know,
right.
Even with Tanika's situation, I've never helped someone that I cared about. We met because of somebody I was training with and I was losing a lot of weight with. And I would
okay.
have never thought that this person was doing this to her. And here in North Carolina, everybody's talking about it. We will not ever use the name because there's no point.
Sure.
But this person has branded himself to look like a, you know, an amazing person, and maybe he is. But I would have never thought that this would have been happening to her because this is a woman that has not been around the block, you know, with many men. She's not a,
right.
you know, a person that's out there or puts
she
herself.
She's a real
stable
raised home.
Right, very great home. So it doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter, broken, upper class, it doesn't matter.
Right.
She came from a very
everybody.
Great, great home. And I remember I stopped training with at the facility she was once employed at because I didn't like the energy. And when this person got mad at any of his clients, he would subliminally talk about them online. I thought, listen, I'm helping you. I was on the radio at the time. I'm giving you promotion. Like, what's the
mm-hmm.
problem? I'm not messy. And this is during my physical transformation, and I'll make it quick. So I'm trying to change myself mentally as well and be better. So I don't have time for this. So I stopped training there, I think, about 30, maybe 60, 90 days. And God kept telling me to go back. And Tanika and I, you know, we chuckle about it now because I now know it's because God was sending me back for her to help her
right.
get out of it. And it all happened right before New Year's Eve. I don't remember
Tanika,
a full exactly.
Tanika, come in the conversation. No, it's okay. Tanika, come in the conversation for a second. Tell us how
she remembers
how,
more.
Tosha got you out. Tell her how she got you out.
Right. Well, that weekend, the 26th through the 28th was the weekend where the beatings and the rapings, they were a lot more intense and a lot worse. So on the 29th is the day that Tosha and I were just talking, and she said she felt something about my spirit. She was like, you know, are you being manipulated? And I told her, and I said, yes. And that was the first time that I expressed that to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then she asked me if I was being physically abused. And she said, Tanika, you have to get out. If you don't, he's going to kill you or you're going to kill yourself. And it was crazy because at that, like the week before, I had had all these feelings about taking my own life. And I knew how I was going to do it. And she told me how I was going to do it. And I said, wow, this is, you know, she's like my angel. That's what I always say, that God and my mom sent her to me. And then at that point, the only thing she kept saying was just trust me. And I knew I could trust her. And at that point, I told my family and Tasha and with some others that she trusts, they got my father and myself into hiding. And from that point on, she's helped me so much. So it's like my family has adopted her family as well.
and how
through,
old was your father?
Through all of
your
that.
Father was 96, did you say, at the time?
He's
94?
94. Mm-hmm.
94. So, I mean, how did he receive this information?
It was very, very hard for him. I mean, you know, he's 94, so it's like any father, you know, they find out their little girl has endured what I endured, you know, they want to go into protective mode. they want to handle things on their own. And I can't imagine everything that he felt, but my dad, no one can believe he's 94. He's very active. He works out, you know, but during time, I've watched my father age so much through this, just from being worried about me. You know, I've just been able to sleep with the lights off. Like I had to sleep in a room that was completely lit. Waking up from nightmares, having dreams about other times in these 3 years that I was raped, that just blocked it all out.
You help these women. There's an organization that you use that helps them disappear. Is that what happens?
Right. There's a facility. I actually don't get paid for it. And because when I was in it with the person I was being abused by, I said to God, if you get me out of this, I promise to help other women and other men and children. And that's what I do. There's times I use my own money. And yes, my best friend became my 70th. Yeah, I pretty much make a phone call to someone I trust, and they meet the person and children, and these people get a new start. But they go through a counseling so that they can help them and be sure that they're not going to look backwards, because they get a new social, they get job training, they get housing, they get everything brand new. They get a new start in a different place. And I think about many of these women, because you start to feel like you know them. You know what he's thinking. Sure. You're already 10 steps ahead. And it's sad because you'll never hear from them. But I was telling Tanika, because I said, you know, Frankie, she would love to have a few of the girls on. But once in a while, especially around Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'll get a freshly made Facebook page. I just want to say thank you for helping me in this year, on this day, on this month. We're doing great. And then the page is deleted. So It lets me know that these angels are living and that my purpose is being fulfilled, and, you know, and I'm just helping. You know, they're always a hard case, especially when children are involved. And so far in it, I've helped one man, which was a beautiful thing. But they all were hard, and I can't say one was harder than the other. But helping Tanika was probably the hardest, because it put my family in a different place and at risk, where this person began to stalk me. And, you know, it was just a lot, but it was worth it in the end, because I know what's getting ready to happen and how we're going to affect so many women and help women and help children and young girls. So at the end of the day, though, it was hard and it was a lot of tears and it was a lot of fear. We're ready, you know, and by her
I just wanted to ask Tanika, are you in a place now where you're able to have a loving, stable relationship with somebody?
You never know how long the healing process is. But I that's not even something that's on my mind. I'm so focused on business and building and starting all these beautiful projects with Tasha and just, you know, helping other women. That's, you know, one day I know that God will heal everything that he needs to heal and help me with, and I will be able to have my own family. Okay, so, right.
You know, if there's anything I can do to help either of you, please feel free to call on me. Anything.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean that.
No, we appreciate it. We definitely will reach out to you.
The premise of my show, you know, was always somebody asked themselves, what can I do to change the world? And then they did it. And, you know, my reason for acknowledging these guests is A, that people who ask themselves that and don't know how to do it, learn from people like you how to do it. And, you know, so they might say, well, this is not a very positive show. It's all about, you know, rape and molestation and battered women. But it is very positive because you both have gotten on with your life and you were able to leave that situation and you're looking forward with, you know, fresh eyes and enthusiasm for a good life, not living in the past and staying in a victim role or mentality. So,
state of mind. Right. Thank you so much. It means a lot. We're not who we were before, but I think, you know, the reason we help other women is to avoid it so they don't go through the same things we've gone through.
Right.
So, yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And I do want to, we don't have that much time left, but I just wanted to quickly acknowledge, Tasha, for your amazing transformation, your weight loss, the pain that you went through before your surgery. Let's just tell people, you went a year, there was a year where you couldn't even move practically, right? You had, what happened to you?
I was holding my youngest, Dylan, he's now 4, I was holding him on my couch, and my mom said she heard a pop. And a few weeks later, I started to limp, and then from there, we wind up finding out I had a fractured vertebrae, 2 bulging disc, and a bursitis in my left hip. And it just got worse, and then the doctors here, which I just got to say, the orthopedic surgeons in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, are amazing. They helped me get my life back, and but I went through a process where I was taking steroids for almost, I think, a year and 3 months. And I was also getting injections to my lower back. So that's where all the weight gain came. And I wound up starting training with a nutrition that was not healthy. And then later, Tamika and I got together, and she's a sport nutritionist and a certified trainer. So her nutrition is magic, and she's helped me get on point. And it hasn't been easy because, you know, with fitness, you have to take it day by day, just like with healing from a relationship or anything in life, or losing a job or anything. You have to take it day by day, but it's been worth it, and it's the hardest challenge because I didn't just change physically. I changed mentally, spiritually, and emotionally.
For sure.
What I once would have allowed 10 years ago would never happen to me, my children, my best friend, my mother, or anyone I love ever again. So, yeah, it's been amazing. It's been amazing, and we're not done. So, you know, I'm down almost 100 pounds. Tanika's down 215 pounds. And we're just helping
Tanika.
Women everywhere.
She goes out to call
magic.
Yeah. No, we got to talk about this. Yeah, I was in a bad motorcycle accident, so I broke everything below my waist, and it's very difficult to come back from that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no,
I want to tell people
that?
How they can get in touch with you if they need to.
Oh,
please, Tasha McKeon.
Oh, absolutely. On any handle on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is Tasha McKeon. It's TOSHAMAKIA, and my email would be tashamakia@gmail.com. Yep.
Thank you so much. Ladies, you're amazing.
Of course.
Thank you for sharing your story and being so brave. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you so much, Frank. We appreciate
you. Thank
you
for having me. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for your bravery and courage to speak out today. Anyway, this has been the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good, and we thank you for joining us today. Take care, everybody. Have yourself a blessed day. Bye now.